This is the recording of the audit hearing held by the Federal Election Commission on September 14th, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning, everyone. This is the audit hearing for Freedom's Defense Fund and Conservative Majority Fund. The audit hearing will now come to order. The hearing will be conducted pursuant to procedural rules and audit hearings adopted by the Commission in 2009, which is available on the Commission's website. Before us today is Scott McKenzie, who serves as treasurer of both committees. We talked previously. It's nice to have you here, and thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate your willingness to combine both of these audits into one hearing, particularly given that the main factual and legal issues appear to be similar. As you may recall, on June 8, 2017, the Audit Division provided you with a copy of the draft final audit report for Freedom's Defense Fund, as well as a copy of the relevant legal analysis. The report set forth four findings and recommendations. In your response dated June 26, 2017, you requested a hearing on behalf of Freedom Defense Fund, and the Commission granted that request. On June 28, 2017, the Audit Division sent you a copy of the draft final audit report for Conservative Majority Fund and a copy of the relevant legal analysis. That report set forth five findings and recommendations. By letter dated July 14, 2017, you requested a hearing on behalf of the Conservative Majority Fund, and the Commission granted that request. Both of your requests state that you wish to address the findings related to the report of the report of apparent independent expenditures, and for the Conservative Majority Fund, the finding related to misstatement of financial activity. Mr. McKenzie, for today's hearing, you may make a brief opening statement. How I'm going to depart from these comments a little bit. As we've talked and I've talked to audit, I think the procedure will be that audit will give just a short overview to kind of orient the conversation to some degree, and then feel free to engage us in any way you can. And again, thank you very much for being here today. Do you have someone here you'd like to introduce sitting with you?
No, I'm alone.
All right.
These are members of your
staff. You don't leave that alone. All right, audit will begin.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. We're here today for the audit hearings on the draft final audit reports of the Audit Division on the Freedom's Defense Fund and the Conservative Majority Fund. And as you stated, the draft final audit report for Freedom's Defense contains four findings: misstatement of financial activity, disclosure of occupation, name of employer, reporting of apparent independent expenditures, and record keeping for communications. And the treasurer has requested the hearing to discuss finding three, the reporting of apparent independent expenditures. And we're happy to provide an overview of the second audit at this time, if you'd like.
Short, but sure. Short and sweet. Sure, of course. Thanks.
Okay. For the Conservative Majority Fund, there were five findings in the draft final audit report: misstatement of financial activity, disclosure of occupation, name of employer, reporting of apparent independent expenditures, reporting of debts and obligations, and record keeping for communications. And the treasurer has requested the hearing today to discuss finding one, the misstatement of financial activity, and finding three, the reporting of apparent independent expenditures.
Thank you. Mr. McKenzie, is there an order in which you'd like to begin?
Yes.
Feel free to go from greatness.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. My name, as stated earlier, is Scott McKenzie. I'm the treasurer of both of these committees, the Freedom's Defense Fund and Conservative Majority Fund. And I appreciate having this opportunity to come before the commission and speak today. I've been involved since April of 1979 with the commission filing FEC reports from that time forward. And this is my first time ever coming before a setting like this. So again, thank you. I'd first like to say that although I have, over the years, had many disagreements with the audit staff, I would like to say that, and that goes back to auditors such as Rick Halter or Tom Nerthen, Joe Stoltz, who some of you may remember these people, and now to the present with Bill Antos and Marty Pavin. I would have to say that my relationship with the auditors has always been, I think, a fairly pleasant one. I have always found them to be knowledgeable, professional, and tough, although I'd have to say, for the most part, fair. And so there's not much more you can you hope for when you're dealing with an audit team, and so thank you for your knowledge, your professionalism, and your fairness. Now, with Freedom's Defense Fund, I'd like to talk about the reporting of independent expenditures. In the 2012 election cycle, the committee reported $386,000 in broadcast media and non-solicitation voter contact mail, and these were reported as independent expenditures. Through the audit, the auditors determined that we should also have reported another $868,000 worth of independent expenditures that were related to our solicitation mailings. And now I understand that the definition of an independent expenditure is one that expressly advocates the election or defeat of a clearly identified candidate without coordination with the candidate or the candidate's committee. But further in the regulations, it states that when you are reporting, you're filing your FEC disclosure reports, that you've got to provide a purpose for your expenditure. And the purpose, in our case, has always been that it was solicitation mailing. And that's the type of expenditure. We reported that on line 21B of our filings. And we had been doing that from the beginning of the inception of the committee, and that was in 2004 forward. Now, with filing those types of expenditures, the solicitation mailings, as 21B operating expenditures, we did that, like I said, from the beginning. That was the precedent that we had set. And in 2008, that cycle, we were audited by one of the FEC's top auditors, Tesfaye Asmawa, and I'm sure I probably butchered his last name, and I'm sorry if I have, but he is an extremely talented individual. He's certified in many areas. I know he's a CPA, he's a certified internal auditor, and he's got a number of other certifications. He's a brilliant individual. He audited us in 2008 for that cycle and did not identify any of our solicitation mailing expenses as being required to be filed on line 24 as independent expenditures. And my feeling is that the precedent of filing solicitation mailings as line 21B operating expenditures was kind of set in stone based on his final audit report. Now, the committee has taken a much tougher stance toward a stricter interpretation of independent expenditures, and from since 2012, so in the 2014 cycle forward, we are aggressively reviewing all solicitation mailings and reporting those disbursements that clearly identify a candidate for election or defeat, and we're reporting those as independent expenditures. But prior to that, we were not. We were reporting them as operating expenditures, and I would think that most committees who would come, an audit report that says a committee failed to file $868,000 worth of independent expenditures might be subject to a fairly massive fine. And what I would like you to do is see that we were following precedent that was set in stone by an audit report, and that we can accept the fact that we have a disagreement here, but we don't think it should be subject to a fine. And that's all I have to say about Freedom's Defense Fund. If you have any questions or comments, I'm ready for them. If not, I'll move on to the Majority Fund.
Mr. Chairman,
I apologize. Commissioner Goodman.
Hi, Mr. McKenzie. Lee Goodman, how are you?
Morning.
I understand your reliance argument, and that may or may not affect referrals and penalties, based on a reliance argument, reliance on effectively the guidance you got from an audit in 2008
that would have led you to believe you were doing things properly in this category. But I guess I have a little bit of a broader question for you, and that has to do with the policy underlying this classification. And the first is, I know you deal with a lot of organizations, so I'm sure you deal with some 501c. Do you deal with 501c organizations as well?
I really don't, no.
You just deal with PACs and regulated political entities?
I have been involved with a couple of 527 organizations.
I see. The reason I ask is because this has a bit of a broader implication for those types of organizations, because at the IRS, you know, on a 990, you have to distinguish between your mission expenditures and your solicitation expenditures.
And that's what I was going to bring up with the Conservative Majority Fund, and that very issue of the 990s and how things are allocated, expenses are allocated between, with the 990, program management and fundraising.
I raise it because our definitions of IEs and what constitutes an IE doesn't line up perfectly with IRS classifications, but it seems to me that there is at least a principle that we draw upon, or that we harmonize with the IRS, and that's this: a solicitation letter that's 90% text and advocacy, you would put as program expenses on your 990, and then if 10% of the solicitation is the ask for money and maybe an envelope for return, you would attribute about 10% to solicitation costs. That's what most nonprofits do. Mm-hmm. And I think most accountants advise nonprofits, including 527 organizations, that that's a reasonable accounting distinction. The second observation I have is, when I look at your total expenditures of 3.2 million?
In that neighborhood, yes.
Okay. And you show independent expenditures of 300 and what, $86,000 or $76,000?
It's 386.
Okay. There is some concern for groups about the percentage of the money that they raise that they then spend on the mission of advocacy, because they've made representations to people that they're going to advocate on behalf of candidates. Now, the way I see many of those solicitations is they are 90% advocacy. In other words, the solicitation letter does engage in advocacy and fulfill the commitment to people that we are engaging in advocacy.
I don't disagree with you at all.
Right.
Well, my point is simply that things were filed one way,
yes,
and then audited and basically given us a green light that we were doing it correctly, and now the rules have changed, and which is fine, and we've adopted that new policy,
yes,
but I just feel that to kind of change the rules in the middle of the game or after the game has ended, it puts the committee at a great disadvantage.
Let me, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
By the way, the reliance argument is, I think, separate from the substantive argument. So I take it that you don't take issue if the commission wants you to report this on line 24 versus 21B. You're more concerned with the fact that you thought that you relied on guidance you received from a prior audit and you were continuing to conform your conduct and reporting to the guidance that you effectively got through an audit. And that is one of the purposes of audits.
Correct. And yes, you know, I always try to learn something from these audits. And
yes,
that was an issue that, you know, had TESFI said. And again, TESFI is a brilliant guy. Anytime I talked to him about any issue related to accounting, I felt like I was back in school. He's so knowledgeable. And, you know, had he said, you really need to start, you know, reporting these as independent expenditures, we would have adopted that policy immediately.
Yes. Can I just make inquiry of either our Office of General Counsel or Audit Division, of what vintage is this classification of solicitation letters as independent expenditures? I mean, I didn't understand this to be a new rule. I thought the classification went back many, many years.
Well, if I can make a statement, and I,
by the way, I'm not discounting your reliance argument, and the guy that's not the purpose of my inquiry.
I don't think that legitimately there was a change like the as far as I know, the regulations never changed. You know, we've got the definition of what an independent expenditure is. I think the approach the auditors have taken is what has changed. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Marty or Bill.
I'm just seeking guidance here about the vintage of the rule. We didn't spring a new rule. Perhaps we didn't provide the guidance that he would have expected in 2008. But the rule itself, how old is that classification?
I'm not exactly sure how old it is, but I agree with what Scott said, that there's been no change in that.
Okay. I just wanted to develop that point. The commission hasn't changed the rule. The commission's always considered these IEs. The commission just didn't apprise you of it when you dealt with the commission staff in 2008.
Correct.
By the way, I'm impressed with that argument, but that's a different phase of this.
Sure.
Than the finding itself.
Sure.
I wondered if maybe at this point you wanted to finish your comments on the balance of your presentation, because if we're done with reliance,
sure.
Then how do you feel about that?
That's fine. I just wanted to go through this. Since this issue was on Freedom's Defense Fund and the issue, the delta is $868,000, I guess I wanted to crystallize what your position is.
And my position is very simply that, as you said, the rules haven't changed. It's the application of the rules that has changed.
Or at least alerting you to the application of those rules.
Right. Yes. And so we just, for the issue of fairness, basically, would not want the commission to look and say, hey, this is a committee that, for whatever reason, failed to file $868,000 worth of independent expenditures, that there is a reason behind that. And again, it's reliance on the fact that this was what was always done, and we had always thought we were doing it correctly, and the 2008 audit report kind of set in stone that it had been done correctly.
Of the 868, can you run me through the dates of those solicitations?
Well, it would have been from the election cycle began in January of 2011 through December of 2012.
Through December, right. Okay.
Excuse me, I'm Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. I just wanted to see if the audit division has a reaction to Mr. McKenzie's summary of the issue, that audit didn't point out to him in the past that it should have been reported a different way, and he relied on that. Is there any response to that comment?
We have a basis to believe that in 2008 that the mailers were not reviewed, and here's why we believe so. The independent expenditure review work paper for 2008 only addresses the television ads, the 300, that's 2012 audit. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but when we looked at the work, we went back after the fact and looked at the 2008 work papers. What was on there was just the television ads. There was no indication that the mailers were included in that review.
Look, if I can interrupt you for a second, Bill, I know that the mailers were provided and looked at. They may not have been looked at to determine what portion was to be considered independent expenditures, but they were reviewed.
Yes, we found the mailers. They were in a folder that was marked not used. So I wasn't involved in that audit. This assistant staff director and the audit manager that were involved are no longer here. So, and the lead auditor doesn't have a recollection.
Thank you. Would Mr. McKenzie have a way of knowing that they weren't reviewed? Is that summarized in the audit report somewhere?
The audit report addresses the findings that we uncovered during the audit. It doesn't address all areas of review. You know, we lay out a basic scope at the beginning to say what's reviewed, but it's in general terms.
Is it clear that the mailers were not reviewed?
It's not clear, no. And that's why we believe that they weren't reviewed, but and I've laid out why we think so. But
it's not clear in the audit report, in the final audit report?
No, it's not.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, I'll move on then to Conservative Majority Fund. And again, well, first let me say item number one, misstatement of financial activity. We've decided we're going to remain silent on that issue and that I'm not going to discuss that at this time. But with the other issue, the independent expenditures, it's somewhat similar to Freedom's Defense Fund, but also different. We did file as independent expenditures some of those fundraising related costs, and you might say, well, why would you do it with one and not the other? And there is a distinct difference. With Freedom's Defense Fund, the primary source of revenue generation was direct mail. With Conservative Majority Fund, it was telemarketing. And one of the components of telemarketing, and I'll give you a quick explanation of how that telemarketing would work. We'd develop a list. We would have the telemarketing firm would call people on the list, and they'd get somebody on the line and say, we've got a 60-second message we'd like you to listen to, and that message would be a political message advocating the election or defeat of a candidate. And that, so those portions were reported as independent expenditures because the message was clearly political. It didn't ask for any fundraising or anything, and then at the end it said, please stay on the line for one of my associates. That associate would come on the line and make the pitch for help us raise money so we can elect or defeat this individual. And so we were reporting portions of that those sums as independent expenditures. But clearly there's a difference between how we were raising money through Conservative Majority Fund versus Freedom's Defense Fund. They did have the dual purpose. And so we had reported $1,347,000 in independent expenditures. The auditors have claimed that we should have reported $1,816,000. Now, I understand that that number has been adjusted downward somewhat. But what I did after getting the interim audit report was I went back and took a hard look at all of the invoices, all of the expenses that we'd incurred, and came up with a number of $915,000. And I don't want to bore you with throwing numbers at you because the numbers really are not the issue. The issue is allocation. And one of the things I did was I took a look at the October 2014 issue of the Journal of Accountancy, and they had an article there talking about how not-for-profits should allocate joint costs. And as Commissioner Goodman has said, that these nonprofits file 990s on an annual basis and are required to break out their expenditures between program management and fundraising. And so the article dealt with how they should be allocating their costs. And since it's a similar issue to the political committees and PACs such as Conservative Majority Fund, this was an article of interest to me, and one of the things I'd like to do is read a paragraph from that article where it talks about what a committee should do in allocating their funds. It says, to properly allocate joint costs, the allocation methodology used should be rational and systematic. It should result in an allocation of joint costs that is reasonable, and it should be applied consistently given similar facts and circumstances. Now, both the auditors and myself have spent a lot of time generating the numbers that we generated. And I've prepared and provided work papers when I responded to the interim audit report that clearly lays out how I came up to my figure of $915,000. I would attest that the numbers that I have provided that they may not agree with the auditors, but the methodology used is sound and in accordance with the AICPA, and therefore, again, I'm contending that the fact that we have a difference in the amount of money that was allocated as independent expenditures should not result in a fine because I believe that we have acted in good faith and in accordance with the AICPA in this. all I've got on any questions or comments.
Okay, thank you very much.
Happy to address.
Any further comments? Commissioner Goodman.
Well, let me ask audit staff, how do we allocate? And can you explain the difference in Mr. McKenzie's allocation versus ours, or do we not allocate at all? Is that really the difference of opinion?
That's the main difference in our numbers. We looked at the solicitation as a independent expenditure. We didn't break down a proportion of it as part solicitation, part fundraising, part IE. We considered it 100% IE.
And what number did we land at?
Our new number is 1.6 million.
And he and the committee reported 1,347,000.
Originally, they reported 1,347,000, and as Mr. McKenzie stated, he's recalculated it to come down to 900,000 now.
Okay, but the delta between what was reported and our sort of catch-all category or definition, all solicitation is included as an IE, is about $250,000?
$273,000.
Okay.
Commissioner, if I could make a comment. One of the differences between the way the auditors have approached this and the way the committee did, we provided to donors who gave at a certain level things like there are premiums. One of them was an American flag, and I know the auditors included that as an independent expenditure where we felt that it was solely related to fundraising, as if you were somebody who gave a $5 contribution, you were not entitled to the flag. I forget what the amount was. It might have been $100 or something like that. So that's one of the differences, and there were many that you could see in the work papers that I had provided at the time of the interim audit report.
Excuse me, just to clarify, are you saying that the cost of the flag is included in the $1.6 million?
No, yes, and they're revised $1.6 million. The cost not only of the flag, but the postage to send it to the individual as well.
Yes, ma'am.
If I may just add to that, that's part of the reason why our number adjusted down, because originally we did include the cost of the flag, but after further review, we deducted that.
Because that was a separate mailing, and it didn't contain advocacy.
Correct.
And so you adjusted down by about $200,000 from the the interim finding?
Yes.
Okay. Any other discrepancies other than the allocation?
Well, there were several, but that's one that I have at the top of my list.
Yes.
Initially I thought I'd bring handouts going over the numbers, and it could blind you with all of the numbers that we've come up with, because I looked at every single invoice determining what should and should not be allocated. Another big item, now that I think of it though, is the length of the phone call. Most phone calls lasted about 5 minutes, and we had determined that since we have the 1 minute political advocacy and then the rest of the phone call, the other 4 minutes related to trying to get the individual to make a contribution, that we had a kind of a 20-80% ratio in the cost of those calls, where 20% went to political or independent expenditures and the rest went to fundraising. So that would be a huge difference between our numbers.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions, comments? Mr. McKenzie, anything further?
Nothing
further. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Excuse me. Somebody want to speak?
Yeah.
Oh, Commissioner Peterson.
I just had, on this issue of allocation, I just wanted to turn to the auditors for just a moment. We've never, you mentioned that you look at a phone call, you look at a mailer as a... The total cost of the communication that you didn't break it down. Is there any precedent within the commission where we've taken particular communications and broken down the cost further, or do we usually say once the threshold of express advocacy is triggered, then we t- take the total cost of that communication and put it in the box of independent expenditure. This is the first time this issue has been raised.
My understanding is how we've always approached it. If any part of it has express advocacy, the whole thing would be considered independent.
Okay. And then just to clarify something that when you were having your back and forth with Commissioner Goodman, the position you're taking isn't so much, from what I understand, isn't that you disagree with the conclusion of the auditors that that certain of these solicitations should have been considered IEs. It's more of the notice issue.
Well, I'm taking the position that the committee has done what was reasonable, and you know, we can have differences over what is the actual number, but the main thing is, you know, we're talking about large discrepancies between what the committee reported and what the auditors are saying. And again, I just don't think that the committee should be fined as if they just decided, hey, we're just not going to bother reporting this.
Okay. When I was going through the audit report and when I was reading through your response, which was actually helpful to just to further understand, you know, the lens through which you view these mailings, you know, the difference between direct mail solicitation versus voter persuasion and how those categories are relevant in that realm, but don't necessarily line up with the categories that are relevant to us. We look to see whether or not there's express advocacy and whether or not the purpose behind a mailing might be solicitation versus persuasion. The categories that we look through aren't necessarily the categories that you apply, but from what I understand, the 2008 audit that you underwent didn't identify these things. You took from that you thought that gave a if not necessarily a stamp of approval, at least an indication that there was no violation.
Correct.
By reporting the way you had reported up to that point.
Exactly.
And so if we're going to do it a different way, then there should be some different consideration as to how we should treat that. Should this, you know, be referred to enforcement or so forth, that that there is a notice issue that you feel like you were not afforded.
Yes.
Okay.
I do see that you did mention it in the discussion of the 2008 election cycle as a question. For example, he said, if the audit staff determined the committee's direct mail program was poorly reported on Schedule B, line 21B, which I have memorized, of course, for the 2000 election cycle, how is it that audit staff can claim that for the 2012 cycle? The FDF should have reported $868,015 related to its direct mail program on Schedule B, line 24, as independent expenditures. So that was the point you're making then and now.
Correct.
Any further questions? Commissioner Peterson, Commissioner? No, okay. Once again, thank you very much. This is very helpful, very informative. Well,
thank you for the opportunity, and nice meeting you all.
Take care. At this part, there's no further discussion. This part of the meeting is concluded.